Morning Fellowship Church. I'm going to read from Exodus 2:23 through 3:6. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we're here before you today to worship and to praise your name, to remember the calling of Moses and the calling you've placed on our lives. Thank you for being a God who hears us when we call, who redeems us from the pit of despair. Thank you for revealing your flame even in the midst of something so humble as a bush. Please reveal your holy light through us, your people. Let us be lights for the world that they can see you through us and themselves hear your call and be redeemed. Please bless Chris. Please let the Spirit fill him up and give him the words that would speak to each of our hearts. Please teach us and guide us and help us to be your hands and feet out in the world. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Man, I'm so blessed to be with you guys today and sing and worship to the Lord our King. And man, I'm excited to jump into the Word today. I just want to say hi to people online. A couple of them are in the hospital fighting cancer. I wore my Stronger Together shirt for those that are walking through that. They had sent this to me. I'm like, yeah, of course I'll wear it. We're with you, right? Amen. We're praying for those that are struggling and walking through trials and sickness and all those things so that we can truly be the hands and feet of God. And so as we jump into this passage, there's a few places in the book of Exodus that are kind of like landing zones or maybe like off-ramps or if you're a native of Texas, they're like the five Buc-ee's of the book of Exodus. You know, like when Buc-ee shows up, you're like, getting off there, right? Trying to find some nuggets and trying to find little things in there. So we're going to kind of take a few off ramps and spend a little extra time in these kind of five places throughout the book of Exodus. One is the burning bush story, one of my favorite stories in all the Word, and you know that a little bit. And then other places that we see that is the Passover. Spend a few extra weeks. In fact, we're going to get to the Passover on Resurrection Sunday so we can just celebrate all that Christ was being celebrated as, the pointing to the blood of the Lamb that was going to take away our sins, a blood that speaks a better word. And then we'll spend a little extra time on the Red Sea as we get there and talk about what God was actually doing. Just an incredible process of the gospel that's happening in the book of Exodus. And then, of course, we've got to spend some time on the Ten Commandments. They seem so easy, but they're just so hard, right? And then so many times people quit the book of Exodus before they get into the tabernacle, and you miss out on so much of the story. And we're going to start next fall studying all the different parts of the tabernacle and why the tabernacle is so important and just how much it points towards Jesus. So as you can tell, I'm a little excited about that. But today, we're focusing on this story of the burning bush. And if you were to jump into the story right now, if this is your first time here, right, we've been looking at Moses. Incredible birth turned into taking the life of another who was being mean, punishing, hurting one of his people. This murderer begins to flee into the land of Midian, which is where we find him right now. 40 years later, he's 80 years old now. He's out in the pasture taking the flock and doing the work that he has for his new family that is out there in the wilderness. And so we pick up here in Exodus chapter 2, right at the end, which says this: during those many days, the king of Egypt died. This would be the Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, that was looking for Moses, who was a murderer. That Pharaoh is dead. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Now, we need to jump into something really quick. As we go through the book of Exodus, you understand that the one that we sing praises to, worthy of every breath that we breathe, right? He's indescribable, uncontainable, right? We're going to try to use English words to describe him, and they're going to fall short sometimes. You understand that, right? So there's going to be times as we're reading through the book of Exodus, and you're going to say, God remembered something? You mean he forgot something? No, that's what we're talking about. We're trying to use words to describe the character of God. And as we go through this book, you're going to see this God relenting, God doing this, and you're going to say, that doesn't sound like God. Well, we're trying to do the best we can to describe what's happening, because we hear the groanings of Israel going up to God, and here's the first thing I want you to write down. God hears. Now, question, do you believe that? Do you believe that God hears you? Now, this is important, because don't we just need to be heard sometimes? We don't really need you to fix the problem. We just need you to listen, right? Someone just to listen to the problem. But here's the problem. If I were to go to Eric and just dump all of my problems that I have with Tara onto Eric, oh my goodness, let me tell you, she is just so amazing. I dumped all my problems onto him. It would change Eric's view of Tara. So there's one person that is willing to listen to us, and it doesn't change his view on others. There's one person that will listen to us because he knows her. He made her. So the best person for us to run to, if we really believe that God hears us, is to run to him in prayer. But yet our prayer life is oftentimes the weakest part of our relationship with God, isn't it? That's something we need to change. That's something we need to fix, because we need to bring our requests and our prayers to him. Lay them down before the cross. Not pick them up again. Lay down our burdens. So God hears us. Here's the second thing. It says God remembered his covenant. Now, there's that word. Did God forget about Israel? Did he forget about God's people? No, right? God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Do you believe that? That's the question I had to go through this week. On Thursday night, I was listening to our college kids had this crew event, and I got to listen to my friend Aaron. He was preaching, and he was talking about how God is near to us. And he was talking about the prodigal son story. And God is even better than the dad waiting for you to come home. Like God with the Holy Spirit, he goes with you. When you run away, God is following you. When you're in the pigsty, God is in the pigsty with you to say, hey, come home. We just have to recognize that he's near, right? So when I say God remembered, it's pointing to, God is pointing us to his faithfulness. He's not just doing this because you asked him. He's doing this because he is faithful. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, God has been faithful. Has God been faithful to you? When you look back at the lineage of how you came to know the Lord, those that came before you, those that are pushing you and encouraging you, we can say that God is faithful. So when it says God remembers, God is remembering his faithfulness, that he is with them through all of it. And then it says that God saw and he knew. That God knew what he was going to do. He didn't just come up with a plan on the spot, right? But he knew intimately what was going to happen in this circumstance. Now listen, if God heard, remembered, and knew what he was going to do, it's still going to be a while for the Israelites until Moses gets there. Moses is 500 miles away. Moses is talking to a bush here in just a second, right? Moses has a little bit of work to be done on him before he gets there, and then it's going to take some time. We have the 10 plagues that are going to happen. So maybe when you bring your request before God, Maybe God is already working, but you don't know it yet. You're like, well, God never answers my prayers. Maybe he's working. Maybe you're going to see that answer down the line. Well, do we believe that God remembers us, that he's faithful to us? And so the people of God are calling out to him, and God begins the work through Moses, starting in verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Got to pause. So last chapter, he was named Reuel. Now he's named Jethro. These are the same person. They speculate maybe Jethro is kind of the priestly name they ask, because it says Jethro, the priest of Midian. But we know that Reuel and Jethro are both the father-in-law, Zipporah's dad, that is there. Okay? The priest of Midian, and he led his flock, so this is Moses, had led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now you're going to hear this mountain, Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, both named. They're both talking about the same mountain. Mount Horeb is used consistently through the book of Deuteronomy, right? Throughout the whole thing, always Mount Horeb, but then you see here Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb being alternated here in the book of Exodus. So that means that the burning bush, the Ten Commandments, the golden calf happen all at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, the same place in Midian that all these different events are happening. And then he says something interesting in verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. And so we have this reference to the angel of the Lord. And we need to break that down a little bit as we talk through, because angel means a messenger, right? So there's a messenger of God in the burning bush. The question is it God? In other words, is this a theophany, this idea that God himself has become in a physical form to share and to talk to? There's two terms, theophany and Christophany, right? The Christophany means it's Christ is the physical form that's there. Theophany means God in the physical form. The question is, which one of these is this? Yeah. It's one of those, okay? It depends on whether you say, well, this is the pre-incarnate Christ without the physical form, or whether you wait for the physical form, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the commander of the Lord's army in Joshua, whether those were the physical form of Christ, or Christ is God. So they're all theophanies, okay? It doesn't really matter. Don't get caught up on that, but this is going to be God speaking. So don't get confused that this is just an angel like Gabriel or Michael that's speaking to him. How do we know this? Well, let's look at a couple other times this same phrasing comes together. Genesis 16. Do you remember Hagar? She was Abraham's, or she was Sarah's servant, but Abraham's had a child with Hagar, which turned out to be Ishmael, right? And Sarah gets jealous, surprise, right? Gets jealous, sends them off into the wilderness. They're about to die. And the angel of the Lord showed up. And when the angel of the Lord shows up, they say, now I believe you are the God who sees, Jehovah Roy. This is the God who sees. So the angel of the Lord shows up, but shows a revelation about who God is. So this was God showing up to Hagar. We see in Genesis 22, we talked about the story a little while ago when Abraham was about to kill his son Isaac, right? Abraham, Abraham, whoa, an angel of the Lord spoke to him in that case, right? And so we see, what is the name given in that story? The Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh, right? So we see this name of God, this revelation of God's character, that he's the God who sees. He's the God who will provide, right? We see this happening in Numbers 22 with Balaam. You remember Balaam and the donkey that talks to him, right? The angel of the Lord was standing before him, and the donkey kept avoiding it until, you know, it just goes bad for Balaam, and that donkey starts rebuking him. So that story happens in there. We see later on in Judges chapter 6, Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon, right? The fleece turned over, the which way you drink out of the water, whether you go to battle and you become a band that wins the victory. But in that story, the angel of the Lord is speaking to Gideon, and he comes with the name Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. So this angel of the Lord is actually the manifestation of God to speak, to reveal something about himself, to tell you about his name, something that he was going to do. So this is God speaking to Moses in these verses. And the angel of the Lord, so God himself, appeared to him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush, and looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush was not burned. So here's Moses, right? He's walking, you know, taking the sheep like he normally does. He looks off and he sees a bush on fire, probably watches it for a minute. Well, that's still going. Huh. Okay, now I don't know how you imagine the scene, right? We all have this picture in our mind. Is it nighttime? Is it daytime? We don't really know, but in your mind, maybe you have a picture from the Ten Commandments, let my people go, right? Charlton Heston, or maybe Prince of Egypt version of it, right? We have sort of a picture of this story of a bush on fire. Moses is curious, and then he responds to that curiosity, right? And so the question for me this week, and the one that the Lord kept bouncing around in my own brain was, am I still curious about the things of God? I mean, if I was Moses, if this happened today, and a bush was on fire, would I be like, man, I got lunch plans today. Like, man, my schedule is just packed. I got to go. Are we too busy? Are we still curious? Like, we're reading this. I know. As your pastor, I'm giving you permission. You can read the Bible more than once a day. More than a five-minute, you know, quiet time. It can be loud. You can have a loud time with the Lord, right? You're loud. If you something, you're like, huh, I wonder what God says about this. No, go look at that. Look it up. Figure it out. There's so many great resources that we have nowadays. But what happens to us, like, I want to read this thing about what happened with Noah's Ark. And then we find a YouTube, and then the suggested, an hour later, we've watched one Bible video and a bunch of cats jumping in. We just get so distracted. We get so busy. Be curious. Moses, see, now, granted, Moses' job was not that exciting. He's watching sheep, right? He's like, oh, anything to get my attention away from that, okay? So Moses, but he still goes. There's still an action in going to investigate, huh, what's going on over there, right? And when he goes, it goes from God giving him a sign, a little knit, like, come see me, come, and to being personal. It goes from a curiosity to an encounter, right? So he says, God speaks to him, right? And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So God makes it personal, right? So Moses had to respond to what he saw, and then God makes it personal. This happens several different times where God calls out their name twice, right? We just mentioned one of them, Abraham, Abraham, as Abraham was about to kill his son in Genesis 22, right? But we see this several other times. We see him calling Samuel, Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, when he was calling Samuel to be a prophet. And Samuel got up and he went into Eli like, was that you? Did you call me? He's like, no, I didn't call you. And he goes back and does it again. And then Eli's like, hey, it might be God. God calling your name, right? And he calls Samuel and invites him to be part of the party. Do you remember the story where he's like, Martha, Martha. Why did he say Martha, Martha? Because she was so busy. Mary's sitting at his feet. Martha's so concerned about taking care of everyone that she was missing the joy of the teaching. She was distracted. She had a job to do. But she let that job become ultimate, not the one that was there becoming ultimate, right? Do you remember Simon, Simon? The enemy is going to sift you like wheat. Get his attention. Maybe you remember Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? God makes it personal. So when we see the Lord doing something and we begin to step into it, guys, it's going to get personal. Are we going to continue to step into it even when it gets personal, even when it gets real? Are we willing to step in? Because God's going to ask him here to do something that doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? He says here, he said, don't come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. It's like, stop. I have something I want you to do. Take off your sandals. This ground is different. Moses had probably walked this way many times before, but something's different this time. What is it? God's there. God has showed up. Now, question, if you were Moses, would you be like, it's a bush on fire talking to me? No, I'm not listening to you. Take my sandals off. You're a fire. No, not going to do that, right? Or would you obey? if God asks you to do something that sounds a little crazy, you're not sure about, are we willing to say yes and step into that? Moses says yes. He steps into that. And of course, I love this story, right? I absolutely love this story. This is part of the calling card of my life, is the idea that God has called me to take off my shoes and to walk. And I believe me, this has to be a calling, because it was cold this morning. It was like 32 degrees outside this morning, right? It has to be a calling, not just something you like to do. And for me, it started a long time ago. A seed was planted. I was at First Baptist Church in Kyle, where I worked before, and we had a guest speaker come in. He was a missionary, I think from India area, and he came in, and he took off his shoes. He was in socks, and he preached a sermon, and the sermon title was, "Your Wife is Like a Horse." Okay? He was using a quote out of the Song of Solomon, and he was like, When I'm done with this sermon, you're going to go home and say, "Hun, you're a horse." Not a good line, by the way. I tried it after the sermon. It did not work, right? Unless horses run away from you. Maybe that's true, but I mean, it doesn't work, right? But in this sermon, he described what it meant to be an Egyptian horse at this time, how they were valuable. You took care of them. They were your prized possession. The thing that you were most proud of in this culture was that you had this ability to have this beautiful thing that was there for you to be a part of. And he tied it into this thing of like, maybe my wife is like a horse, right? I do. What an incredible creation, what an incredible thing. And so it planted the seed of like, wow, that was really awesome. And then I was asked to preach my first sermon on Exodus chapter 3. And I had this crisis of belief. I know you have this sometimes. And this happened to me a lot in my ministry, of this crisis of belief. The first time it happened was when we sang the song, "Holy is the Lord." Do you remember that Chris Thomas song? "Holy is the Lord, God Almighty." It sounds a lot better than that when he sings it. But it says that I raise my hands in the song. It says, "And I raise up my hands." Da, da, da. But I was in like an old school, like if you took your hands out of your pocket, that was like charismatic. Okay, that's how I grew up. In my church in St. Marcus, it was like, "Woo, putting them back in there, buddy. What are you doing? All right, what are you doing?" Right. So for me to raise my hand, we were at youth camp, and the line said, "I lift up my hands." I was like, "What are you doing?" Like, I was talking to myself, like, "What are you doing?" Like, the song said to do it. So I'm like, okay, so I do it. And I remember promising my youth that night, I think we were in St. Louis, Missouri. We had our church of us that, "Next time that song plays, I just feel like I'm going to do it. It says to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to raise up my hands," right? We sing "The Stand," and I'm going to do it, right? P-Rob was there. He was the worship leader at our church. Guess what song came on the first Sunday we got home? "Holy is..." I'm like, "P-Rob, I might get fired over this," right? So I had to come out of the pockets to like, I made a commitment to the Lord. I had to be faithful to follow through on that commitment, right? Are you ready to commit yourself to the Lord? In other words, what is your calling card? What is it about your life that draws people into the story? For me, when I was coaching people in football, I had to draw them in. I couldn't just tell Anthony about Jesus on the football field. He had to ask me about it. So he might be on the way, "Why are you barefoot at practice all the time?" "Oh, Anthony, let me tell you about that. Well, there's a story in the Bible," right? And so it was an opportunity. It brought up conversation about God. What is it about you that draws people in to have that conversation? It could be your kindness. Some of y'all in here are super kind. You're just really nice. That's not me. People are not drawn to my kindness, okay? They're not. We did a marriage thing this week, and the number one improvement for me is kindness, right? So for you, maybe that's it. Maybe some of y'all are just so welcoming, right? Your smile just lights up the room and people are drawn to you. Well, when they're drawn to you, like, bring their question about Jesus. Some of y'all are incredible at serving. Like, I was in the other room and Natalie's in there holding a crying baby, loving on other people. Like, I was inspired, because she was just like, "I'm serving the Lord and I'm gonna smile and do the best I can at serving the Lord." And I was like, "Why do you do that? Why would you sacrifice your time in order to do that?" It's a beautiful thing. What is your calling card? That people see this about you and they want to know why. And the why is Jesus. So that's what I want to encourage you with. Find something that people are drawn to. Because the only difference between this place being like a church or being a holy ground is whether God is here. If God is here, something crazy can happen. If God is in your home, something crazy can happen. Revival can happen if it's in your home. But listen, you got to be bold and ready to tell people about the reason why. If people came up to me and said, so why are you barefoot? I'm like, because it's really comfortable. Missed an opportunity. Oh, you know, I just like the beach. What got praise? The beach. Comfort. So you got to be ready to tell people the story. And don't worry, if you're like, I have no idea how to tell a story. Tonight, we got a training on evangelism, right? Because this month of February, I want to challenge you to tell someone else about your faith in Jesus, to be bold. Work on it this month. Take an opportunity. Take a chance. Step out and tell someone else about this thing that it's important to us, isn't it? Our relationship with the Lord is important. Is there anything better in my life than my relationship with the Lord? Why would I not want to tell other people about that? All right, so that's the challenge that we have, to be able to make that story, to tell other people about that story. Let's finish it up here in verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And we're going to dive into more of the story here, but something interesting is happening. He's reminding Moses that he is faithful. Remember Abraham and Isaac, and remember Jacob. And actually, if you go to Luke chapter 20, you see the kind of culmination of all these things coming forward. Turn there to Luke chapter 20 with me. In verse 27, the Sadducees come up to Jesus and they're trying to trick him, right? So they're talking to Jesus and they're trying to trick him, like, oh, wait, here's a problem. A man has a wife, he dies, and she marries a brother, and he dies, and all this kind of stuff. So they're just trying to trick him in there, which the Sadducees don't even believe in the resurrection. Yeah, they're trying to use this thing they don't believe in order to catch someone else, right? They're trying to trick Jesus, right? And so we pick up here in verse 34, and Jesus answered them. He says to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age, to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. That's one of our names, the sons of the resurrection, a child of God. Isn't that a good name? Like we have an opportunity to be with our dad someday in heaven. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush. Oh, it's referencing our story, right? So even Moses, in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Do you believe that? Our God is alive? We believe that, right? That God isn't just somebody who died. Globetrotted the earth and said, good luck, guys. Like he actually interacts with our life, just like he interacted with Moses, that God actually speaks to us. Now listen, we all want a burning bush moment, don't we? Don't we all want God to just show up and start talking to us? That's not really how it works nowadays. Why? Because he has put his spirit inside of us. Because he has given us his word. This is his text message to us. I mean, don't we all want God, Lord, should I take this job or not? Do, 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 do. Message from God. Yes. All right? Wouldn't we want that? Who doesn't want that? We all want that, right? Yeah, for sure, right? But that's not how it works. We pray. We read his word. We seek his face, right? We ask him, Lord, make it clear to me from your word what I should do in this situation. He doesn't show up outside in a fire, but we still trust him. He still speaks to us through his word. Why? Because he's the God of the living. Our God is alive. That's why the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing bone from marrow. It's living. It's active. And that's where we put our faith. And so just as God listens to us, we need to listen to others. Right? Just as God remembers, we need to remember. And that's what we're going to do today with the Lord's Supper. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? Because we're remembering what Christ has done for us. We do it in remembrance of him. Not that we have forgotten. We haven't forgotten. In fact, when I say, oh, I remember how to ride a bike, it's not like I forgot to ride a bike. I just haven't been on a bike in a while, right? So it's not that I forgot that Christ died on the cross, but I'm remembering. I put it in the forefront of my mind today to remember what Christ did for us, that his body was broken for us, that his blood is a better word, that his blood covers our sins. And that's what we do when we do this as the body of Christ, as we remember. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you spoke to Moses. Lord, I thank you that you rewrote his story from a murderer running, a fugitive, Lord, into a man of God that's going to lead your people. Lord, you're the only one who can make that change in our life, and that's why we remember you. That's why we do the Lord's Supper, to remind ourselves of the cross and all you have done for us. Lord, let this be a sweet time of prayer with our families. Lord, then as a group, we'll take it all together at the end, recognizing that we are the body of Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you guys in the middle will kind of come to the center aisles and then go down and kind of circulate that way. And then the pie shapes, if you can kind of come to the middle and then circulate, maybe that'll work better. I don't know. We'll kind of see. Y'all might come to the middle and kind of circulate out. But if you guys would stand and take the Lord's Supper with us, then we'll pray to close it at the end and take the bread and the cup together. you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, as we take this bread, we thank you for your body which was broken, not for yourself, Lord, but for our sin. Lord, let us take a few moments just to pause before you, recognizing our sin and lay it before you. Help us, Lord, to repent of our sin. Help us to turn back to you. Help us to remember what you have done for us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. We eat this bread in remembrance of Christ. If you'll join me in prayer once again, Lord, we thank you for your blood. Your body was broken, Lord, and your blood was spilt for us. Lord, we sang a song earlier. Your blood speaks a better word. Our robe of righteousness, it covers our sins. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, help us to be the same, offering grace and forgiveness to others as the perfect example that you showed us on the cross. Thank you in your name. Amen. We drink this in remembrance of Christ. I want to close with just a quick little old hymn. I think all of you would know this. It's called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And that's the commitment that we're making as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, is that we want to follow Jesus. So
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. It's the whole thing is how it goes. Lift it up. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Do that again, no turning. No turning back, no turning back.
Can you imagine the look on Moses' face, or what he felt in his heart when he turned to that burning bush and he heard the voice of the Lord, Moses, Moses? Now imagine that same voice of the Lord calling your name. Imagine right now. And he tells you, go make disciples of all nations. And part of making disciples is sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to people. But here's a statistic that I want you to hear. 94% of Christians in America have never shared the gospel with anybody. And it's not because we don't want to. It's because we're too afraid and we don't know how. How would you like to learn how to share the gospel clearly and simply with anybody, anywhere? We have that chance to do that tonight at 6 o'clock right here for our in-depth teaching. It will be evangelism training, and by the end of the night, you will be able to go out and you'll learn how to share the gospel clearly and simply to anyone, anywhere. I just ask you to bring a notebook so you can take some notes on there. We've got plenty of pens for you. So notebook, Bible, 6 o'clock right here, all right? Who's coming? Good, I love it. I love it. I heard that woo out there. Hey, I loved worshiping with you today. God bless you all. Take God in your heart and be a blessing. You are dismissed.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.